Welcome to God in the Ordinary, a podcast featuring special guests talking about how they reveal God during the ordinary rhythm of their daily life. Presented by author and speaker Sharon Tedford.
Today's guest helps us to mark International Nurses Day. She uses her long-time nursing skills to bless her community in fresh ways, serving with a ministry that reaches the unseen and ensures they get the help, support and companionship they need. My guest, Parish Nursing Coordinator Barbara Griffiths. I'm so pleased to be able to welcome Barbara here today. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to say hello, Barbara. But before you do, I want everyone to know that today is extra special because it's edition 61. And you know what we think about the number 61 being Isaiah 61 and the name of my ministry, 61 Things. And get this, in a few short days, the very lovely Gary Dell, my co-producer, you hear his voice every now and then, turns 61. Can you believe it? But anyway, 61 is a really good number today. Barbara, say hello to everybody and tell us where you are, please.
Hello. So I'm in the UK in Welwyn Garden City, which is in Hertfordshire, about 20 miles north of London.
Excellent. We are really going to enjoy listening to Barbara's story today. But before we get into your story, Barbara, as you well know, we love to have our guests share their reflection on Isaiah 61. And we'd love to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, no problem. Isaiah 61 reminds us that God has sent each one of us to proclaim good news to the poor, the brokenhearted, and those who need freedom, but has gifted us to do that in different ways. He also wants us all to know his peace and comfort, and to begin to feel joy and thankfulness instead of despair. It sounds wonderful, but in reality, we're so often caught up in the day-to-day. The issues we face seem just so big that they take over our thinking, particularly if we're in pain or we are frightened or anxious about our physical or mental health. Perhaps we do not understand what help is available to us. We may have recently arrived as a refugee, or perhaps we've never needed to negotiate this particular issue before. Perhaps it takes us back to a time we would rather not recall. We may have difficulty in accessing help because of physical disability, sensory loss, mental health issues, drug or alcohol dependence, or because our English is limited. God's desire is for us all to experience his shalom, a peace and wholeness of body, mind and spirit. Psychology teaches us that we first need to attend to basic needs for warmth and safety and a sense of belonging. And Matthew 25 reminds us that we all have a part to play there. It says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." But what if someone could help reduce our anxiety because we begin to understand what's happening to our body? What if someone could help us work out what we can do and identify the next step? What if we knew there was someone to accompany us on the journey, however difficult that might be? Then we could begin to see the miracle of God at work through ordinary people.
Thanks for that thought-provoking reflection, Barbara. Would you please tell us more about Parish Nursing Ministries and how you came to be involved in it?
Parish Nursing Ministries came out really of the experience of our founder, Helen Wordsworth, having this vision of faith and health being able to work together. And she was in the US around the time of 9/11 and was unable to travel back home again. She'd been working for many years as a nurse and also as a minister. And she just had the chance at that point, being stuck in the US, to be able to chat to people from Westberg, which is the international organisation who are based in the US and who started up Parish Nursing. And she had the chance to be able to spend time with them and talk about that. And really, at the end of that, came back seeing how that vision of putting together faith and health could come across to the UK. UK. So that's in a way how it all started. That was back in the early 2000s. It was then established in 2005. And I joined the organisation about 6 years later, 2011.
So you've been in that organisation for a long time. What was it that drew you?
Exactly as Helen had experienced, that sense that health was so much more than just about physical health or even emotional health, that it was intertwined with our spiritual health as well. And that within the NHS, yes, you could pay lip service to that, but to an extent, you needed to be careful about what you said about faith within a work context. And that actually there was a chance to look at health in the way of wholeness, particularly for me working alongside the congregation of a local church and seeing the need for integrating faith and health together.
So you're telling us here that nursing is your background. How long have you been nursing?
So I've been nursing for more years than I care to remember. Near on half a century now I have been nursing for. And so from that, worked within the wards, within the hospice, in teaching and research, but then more latterly in health visiting and safeguarding. So a huge variety of work, but one that somehow when I started parish nursing, all started to collide and come together, because you suddenly realised that everything that you had done was useful for being able to bring to parish nursing.
Isn't that just amazing how God does that? Sometimes we do a particular job and then it finishes and you think, what was that about, Lord? And then 20 years later, it comes back and you're like, oh, that's why I did that. So just for our American audience, tell us what health visiting is, please, Barbara. That's not something that translates very well.
No, indeed, there's no real equivalent within the US, and it is working primarily with families of young children. It's working in a preventative way, trying to prevent ill health and to look at finding any problems for a young child or for families at an early point. So something that's often done by paediatricians over there, but also working, as I say, much more proactively about helping people to access services, to do things that will positively promote the health and welfare of their young family.
Thank you so much. Just thinking back to your career, can you pinpoint a moment when you really were frustrated about not being able to speak up about your faith that maybe led you along the path to see that God was calling you out to be a parish nurse?
I think in some ways I'm a pragmatist. I work with what I can do rather than being frustrated by what I can't do. And so in a lot of ways, I was accepting that actually your faith could speak through what you were doing, through how you were working with people as time went on, how you managed people. And that actually it wasn't so much feeling that you couldn't say or do anything, because I believe I was saying and doing things all day, every day without putting the faith word in it or by having any religious symbols or anything like that. That actually what was important was the way that I did things. So in a way, no, and yet in a way, recognising that to be able to acknowledge people's faith, to ask about their faith as part of their ill health, was a way of recognising the wholeness of the person and not putting health or illness in isolation from faith.
Thank you. That's something that we can all grab onto. The way that we do things can show people that we have faith in Jesus. Barbara, in your reflection, you talked about attending to people's basic needs. Is that something you focus on before anything else? And is that an approach that we can all have no matter where our lives take us today?
Absolutely. I think that we sometimes want to see big change in people. And we forget, particularly if our own background is one of relative comfort and one where we've not struggled with major issues, we can struggle to understand why people find things so difficult. I sometimes think that we all think that some things are easy and they're the things that we don't struggle with, and that other things are difficult because we struggle with them, and others may have a completely different view. But if we don't have a roof over our head and enough money to live on, then we are going to struggle to manage to make changes, to manage to prioritise our health, to manage to get to appointments, because we're so busy worrying about the day-to-day that we just really can't focus on how to manage something that just seems too big to be attainable. So in a way, in the same way as many of us need a cup of tea or coffee to get going in the morning, we all need just our basic needs attended to so that we can feel safe and we can begin to think.
I'm sure that many people know what you mean by basic needs, but can you just pinpoint them for us so that we can know that when we meet people, because, you know, those of us who are not in the nursing profession will still need to meet people's basic needs before we share Jesus with them. So what do you mean by the basic needs?
We need to make sure that people have food to eat, that they have somewhere safe and warm enough where they can be living, where they feel that they are physically safe and are not at risk from anyone within their household or from outside their household. We need people just to feel that they are safe in terms of people around them who care for them and who look out for them. Things that are so obvious to many of us that we don't even think about them. But when we begin to think what life would be like without them, and maybe an energy crisis has made us start to think, what does it feel like not to be warm at every point? Then you start realizing just how important those very basic things are. Having adequate clothes, shoes that don't leak when you go out and walk in the rain, just all those things that we can take so much for granted.
Yeah, and on this side of the Atlantic, the opposite, that things are too hot and you only have thick clothes to wear instead of cool clothes so that you don't end up getting too hot and getting sick from that point of view too. As I've been researching, and I've really enjoyed doing that, about parish nursing ministries, I've seen the phrase whole person health, which I think might link to what you're saying. So can you just explain to us what whole person health is, Barbara?
Yes, it's recognising that we are physical beings, emotional beings and spiritual beings, and that all of those things need to work together in harmony, that health is not just the absence of disease, health is a wholeness in body, mind and spirit, and that we need all those elements to be in place for us to be truly healthy. So our healthcare is looking at where there are issues in any of those and not being afraid to address any of those issues.
That has to be brave to talk about somebody's faith in this day and age, but definitely something that we can all do and do it kindly. It's important. So do parish nurses take the place of other services, Barbara?
No, the whole philosophy is that it is to complement the other services that are available. In fact, one of our mantras for new parish nurses is to remind them that they must not be involved in hands-on care, that they're not there to change dressings or to give injections or to do any of those things. They're there to complement and to signpost. So that means working alongside others, helping people to understand what they've been told, perhaps going to an appointment with somebody and helping them to understand the information that's there, particularly if they're going to get a difficult diagnosis and are going to struggle to remember anything else that was said in the room. And then signposting in terms of suggesting to people when and where it's appropriate to seek other help, reassuring them that it's reasonable to do that, or at times suggesting that actually this is not something that requires an urgent appointment and that there may be another way of doing things, or that they may need to look at some things online or get involved in a support group. So many different things that people can do to help look after their own health.
That's helpful. Thanks for sharing that. So, Barbara, can a parish nurse work with groups of people in an organisation or maybe even a church? Or do you just solely work with one patient at a time?
No, absolutely. People can work with groups. It varies from nurse to nurse and their particular setting. But for some, they will be involved in things like a health education group, a support group for carers, and an exercise class. For others, they will work more with individuals, perhaps in the home. For me, it's maybe halfway between the two, because I will often catch individuals who are at a class that we run for exercise for older people. So it's using both the individual but working alongside an existing group. So huge variety in what people do according to their own particular setting.
That's great. So if someone has seen a need amongst their own community, in their church or their organisation, and they think, oh my goodness, that would be a good thing for this organisation to fulfil, do they come to you or do they go to their organisation? Where's the funding from?
So the funding and the setup is very much from the church or the Christian organisation who want to run that ministry. They are then encouraged to contact Parish Nursing Ministries UK, who are able to really support them through looking at everything from how to raise funds to what realistically a nurse might do and how they could set up a service that is both one that meets the need that they have there, but also that is sustainable. To look with them as to whether they have a volunteer or whether they would need to employ somebody, and to look with them about the sort of governance and the sort of management that they need in place to make sure that happens safely.
You're listening to God in the Ordinary with me, Sharon Tedford, and my guest, Barbara Griffiths. Barbara, do you think isolation sometimes plays a role in maybe people's general health? And how do we, who are not nurses, help to combat that in our own communities?
Absolutely. Isolation is just so important, partly because people who are isolated tend to worry a lot more and often have far more anxieties about their health. But also that one of the ministries that we must look at as a church is how to ensure that people can be part of community. It's just such an important part of all of our lives, but particularly our lives in sustaining our faith. And you don't need training to get alongside somebody who is isolated. Parish nurses can sometimes help in identifying particular needs for people and particular ways in which they can be helped. I recall times where people have been taking somebody to an appointment and I've been able to give them some pointers of what they might want to ask, for example, while they're there. But anyone can get alongside and be company and listen to people. And that really is the biggest thing for us, to get alongside people and listen to them. And that takes time and it takes the right setting. Can't just happen on a Sunday morning. And particularly for somebody who is more housebound, for example, may need somebody to just go and see them and spend time with them.
And you mean that on a regular basis, building relationship?
Absolutely. That's just so essential. It may not be for a huge long time. My husband visits an elderly gentleman who he's known since his childhood every 6 weeks or so. That gentleman now has dementia, but actually he's able to tap into, for a short time on each visit, a little bit of those memories. It may be the same memories each time, but it's just so important. And he comes away feeling better. And the gentleman he visits just so appreciates those visits.
Thank you. It's really, really helpful that you just said you don't need training to get alongside someone. So if you know somebody in your community today who needs you to get alongside them, I encourage you just to go visit them, make them a cup of tea, stand on their doorstep and take them a cookie. It doesn't have to be a great big long time. Thanks for saying that, Barbara, because sometimes I think we feel overwhelmed by the bigness of the situation when actually we just need to take small bites at it. Through your many years of nursing and caring and loving people, have you seen the power of prayer working out?
Absolutely. Both within individual situations, sometimes where you just do not know where to go and what to do, and to be able to send up what some people would call that arrow prayer and just ask for wisdom and guidance in that, to times of spending time with people and recognizing somehow just what it is that they need to hear at that point, but also the prayerful support of others. One of the things that we do as parish nurses is ensure that we have spiritual supervision ourselves, somebody who will walk that journey alongside us, but also that others in our church will support us in prayer. And that's just so important, where just at times things can feel slightly overwhelming. And to know that you have that prayerful support of others is just so important.
And maybe if you are in a nursing profession where you can't talk about your faith openly, as you've said, but you show it, perhaps getting people around you who do pray is a good thing to do. Have you ever done that, Barbara?
Yes, to ask other people to be there and to stand by you is just so important. But the other thing as a parish nurse that we can do is to be able to offer to pray for or with the people who we are seeing. And that's just such a privilege. There are many people who would profess no faith and yet who are happy at their time of need to have somebody to say that they will pray for them, to leave them with some prayers or to pray over them at that point. We are happy to see people of any faith or no faith, but we're clear that we are coming from a Christian organisation and that that is something that is available to people if they wish to take that up.
That's a good point. And for us to remember that even if somebody that we meet today is of no faith or a different faith, it's still okay for us to offer to pray for them. They can say yes or no. And when you say you leave a prayer with them, what do you mean? Do you have printed prayers that you can leave?
Yes, so many parish nurses will carry printed prayers with them or else send on to somebody afterwards a prayer that they have written for them, often reflecting the words that that person has used in that consultation and turning that round as a prayer that that person can use to be able to pray themselves. So even when they feel they have no words, that somebody else has provided them with words that they can use. And people can find that very comforting.
What an amazing resource. We can all do that too. That's a great idea. I've never thought about it that way. Using the conversation and being informed by the Holy Spirit as we write prayers for other people to use when they feel like they have no words. We've all been there, haven't we? I've got no words. I don't know what to pray. That's really helpful. Thank you. So I just want to take a little sidestep here, Barbara, because you told me that you do something outside of this particular ministry. Could you tell us about your work in court and why you do it, please?
Yes, so a few years ago, when I had fully retired from the NHS, where I was working alongside working as a parish nurse in a church, I felt that there was a need for me to get out and do something that wasn't church-based. Obviously, your skill set is the same skill set, and one of the things that I'd been involved in some of my NHS career was supporting people who were attending court. And that was an area where I felt fairly comfortable, which is slightly odd, but it just felt that that was somewhere where people really needed support. And I saw that they were looking for volunteers to work alongside families and witnesses in the coroner's court. Coroner's Court is where there is a hearing to establish the cause of death where that was unexpected. And so in a way, that was an area where I felt perhaps I could have something to offer, that I was both comfortable in court and had a degree of experience of health issues. So I started to volunteer one day a week, going into the coroner's court, just meeting families there, briefly talking to them, talking them through how the day would go, and being able to offer just a little bit of support for them on a difficult day.
It sounds like you were coming alongside people again, Barbara. That really sounds like your gift there. I'm sure many of us know what you mean, but can you tell us why it was important to you to do something outside of church?
The longer we're in church, the less contact we have with people outside. There's research that absolutely proves that. And when I was no longer in a secular workplace, there was a real need for me to keep connecting with people who were not part of church. It leads to all sorts of amazing conversations about why people choose to swear on a holy book or why they would affirm or just promise to tell the truth. It just puts me in contact with people I wouldn't otherwise meet, whether that's other volunteers, whether that's staff, and whether it's families or witnesses. They're all people that I wouldn't meet on a day-to-day basis, and I need to keep in touch with the real world out there.
That's really helpful. Thank you. Yeah, that's the same for all of us. We need to keep in touch with the world who needs Jesus, not just people around us who already know Jesus. We need that community, but there are people outside who we need to connect with to draw them into community with Jesus. Thank you for sharing that. Maybe someone's listening today who's a nurse or in the medical field thinking, do you know what? I really, really want to join this parish nursing ministry or the parallel organization in the US, which is Westberg Institute for Faith Community Nursing, which actually those two organizations are affiliated with each other. How can they start? What's the first step? Oh my goodness, I want to do this. Where do they go? What happens?
So get in touch with your national organisation, either the Westberg Institute or Parish Nursing Ministries UK. Just have a look on the web. There's a wealth of information out there. You will find links there to tell you the sort of things that parish nurses might do or faith community nurses. And you will find ways of sending an inquiry. In the UK, we run taster sessions for nurses and for churches who are interested. Just an hour online at different times of the day, allowing people to link with somebody who knows about parish nursing to be able to give a bit of a presentation and answer their questions. Get in touch, even if it's for someone else and you can pass that information on. I first got to know about it because somebody came back from a Christian conference and brought me a leaflet and said, this might be something you're interested in. That was maybe 5 years before I first started doing parish nursing, but it sowed a seed that was there. So don't hesitate to get in touch.
Yeah, if this is sowing a seed, let it germinate, spend some time with the Lord, ask if this is what you're meant to do, and then get in touch. So is it just in the UK and America?
No, the Westberg have a number of affiliates across the world. So again, start at the Westberg site and work from there. But you will find that there are affiliates all over the place, not least of which are our colleagues in Ukraine, who we are particularly holding up in prayer at this particular point as they continue parish nursing in impossibly difficult circumstances.
Goodness. Yes, let's pray for them. In your reflection way back at the beginning, you said that the miracle of God is at work through ordinary people. That's everyone who's listening today. We're all ordinary people. But would you please just speak to the person who feels so ordinary that they don't have the confidence to live as a believer or speak as a believer about the confidence that they can have in Christ?
It's recognizing that God created each one of us as we are, and that he created you to be who he wants you to be. And, you know, we couldn't run the drop-in we run if somebody didn't make the coffee and wash the dishes. And there are so many things where it may be that you think that what you're doing is minute, but every mustard seed is really, really important. And what's more, some of those really grow. You know, I have a lady who helps in our drop-in, and she started off by making tea and coffee, but we discovered that she has an amazing gift for filling in forms with people. And we only know that because one day in the midst of doing things, I got called away and she carried on doing it. And suddenly, here is somebody who is our amazing form filler who now needs just a little bit of encouragement here and there. So it's recognizing that each one of us may feel that we can do very little, but God has gifted us for what he wants us to do.
That's so true. Thank you. That's a really helpful thought. Ask the Lord what you can do with the gifts he's given you. Barbara, is any nursing experience going to be translatable into parish nursing ministries?
In a way, yes, because the basic nursing skills are there. The people who often find it easiest to make those transitions are those who've worked in practice nursing or in community nursing or health visiting, as my own background was. But we run a course a couple of times a year for a week or so, sometimes online, sometimes in person. And that helps people to consider where the knowledge they have would fit in with parish nursing. And often people come with massive life experience. And so their more limited nursing experience can often still be absolutely something that is useful.
Thank you. So where is the website? What's the address if people want to look it up?
It's very simply parishnursing.org.uk.
Barbara, thank you for joining us here on God in the Ordinary. But more than that, thank you so much for the years of caring and connecting and nursing that you've done. And anyone who's listening today who's in the caring profession, thank you for what you do. It's so important. And I hope that you will all join me in wishing Gary a very happy birthday. Happy birthday, Gary. 61 doesn't look like it. Barbara, thank you so much for sharing your heart with us here on God in the Ordinary today.
No, thanks for having me.
You've been listening to God in the Ordinary with me, Sharon Tedford, and my guest, Parish Nursing Ministries Regional Nurse Coordinator, Barbara Griffiths. Find out more at parishnursing.org.uk and check out our show notes for extra information.
The producer is Gary Dell, and this is a Wise Word Radio 61 Things co-production. Go to 61-things.com to tell us how you reveal God in the Ordinary.